dissolved the council permanently. The last remnants of the old republic have been swept away.
Put down your blasters and prepare for the Jedi to end. This is the Imperial Senate Podcast. I'm your co-host Charlie Ashby, and as always, I'm joined by my friends and co-pilots, Nikki and Kristen. How's it going, guys?
Hey!
How's it going? Totally.
Are you okay?
This is going great.
Totally screwed that one up. Can we start over?
Do you want to start again?
Yeah,
let's just keep going.
Oh, man.
Keep going.
Roll through it.
Well, we haven't done this for a while, so it may show in the actual quality of the podcast. But don't worry, because we're back. We're here to discuss Star Wars stuff. We're leading up to Episode 8, which is, what, days away now?
My body is ready.
My body is not.
My body is, Charlie. I've been waiting for this since Star Wars Celebration.
It is exciting. It's one of those things where it's only just starting to click in for me. It's like, okay, I'm going to see a Star Wars film soon. That's pretty cool. Oh my god. Guys, how are you going to, like, actually go into the film? Like, are you going midnight premieres? Are you doing any special viewing for the film?
I'm rewatching the previous Star Wars films before I go in, but obviously I'm going to go to the midnight screening. So, but am I going to go in with a box of tissues? Yes, I am.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy one. For me, it's like my theaters don't do midnight anymore. Like, they've eliminated this. So I'm going on at like 6 p.m. the night before. Apparently release dates don't mean anything anymore. So yeah, it's apparently some sort of special event that they've not expanded upon, but I'm excited anyway. It should be cool. So yeah,
you sound it.
Yeah, so Thursday night, it's gonna be awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
That's pretty weird. 6 p.m.
Yeah, like, it makes no sense. Because yeah, I remember being in, you know, I was in London for The Force Awakens, and it was midnight premiere. It was like, finally, something that makes sense, something that respects the sanctity of the release date. And then yeah, I come back, and this has been a thing for a while here, I think. But yeah, for whatever reason, they're showing them the night before.
Well, over here, I got my tickets are to see it's the midnight showing of The Last Jedi, but straight before they're actually showing The Force Awakens on screen again. So a double feature is going to be so awesome. We're going to watch Starkiller Base blow up again before we head straight into that moment, which is going to be pretty cool to see it on the big screen, like Rey give Luke the lightsaber, and it'd be like, and then like 1 minute later, be like, anyway, here you go. Yeah, why do we focus on those words in space for like 2 minutes? It's like, we do that all the time. It just happens. Just ignore it. But yeah, I'm excited to see this film. It still feels unreal that we're getting it now. We're getting so much information since we last recorded about the film, EW stuff, breaking news element that we haven't been managed to talk about yet, but we will today. So yeah, I'm interested. This week in particular, it's been pretty press heavy. All the PR stuff has been happening, interviews going out. So how have you guys been, like, watching that sort of stuff? Because it's been quite, there's so many like interviews and like snippets and, you know,
yeah,
big articles coming out.
You got like all the Twitter and Facebook live Q&A's and whatnot, and those are hard enough to sort of keep track of. And then I think they've been on a few of the late night shows, like The Tonight Show, and Jimmy Kimmel had the whole cast there, and Rian Johnson. So that, they've been really cool, just to see everyone sort of get back together again. It's what's sort of been, you know, we had Rogue One as a nice break, but it is good to see these guys all back together again.
Yeah, there's a really bizarre moment actually watching the Kimmel stuff when our friend Steel and Laura just appeared on screen.
Yeah, they were on TV. They made it.
They finally, yeah, you made it.
The big time.
The ultimate plug. Yeah, one of my favorite games to play during the whole press stuff is it's a game called How Tired Are the Cast? and my favorite one so far, I think, was an interview with Collider where the guy was asking Laura Dern about like the ingenuity and the design work of the CGI behind Jurassic Park, and she was like really into it, and then you just saw like Oscar like staring off into the distance, like like this doesn't involve me, and he's just like staring off into space, thinking about space butterflies, or God knows what, which was incredible.
The guy to watch is Adam Driver. Yeah. He just never looks like he wants to be there. Like I was enjoying my time at home. He really is Han's son, isn't he?
Maybe he's just in character all the time. You know? Can't lose the Kylo Ren facade.
There's a really great photo of the cast and they're all smiling and it's just Adam like trying to smile and it just reminded me of me going out anytime. It's like just grit through it and make sure that no one sees this. And you know, like people are like, oh, Adam Driver's so miserable. It's like, no, he's an actor. He'd have to be happy to talk to people, especially when like, you know, these press junkets and stuff. We know what they're for. I'm part of the business, so I understand that too. But it is like the same questions asked over and over again.
I'm sure Daisy is getting tired of being asked who her parents are. Like, I can just see the eye roll happening, even though she's not doing it, but I can just see it happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell that Daisy's, I know she says that she hasn't, but you can tell that she's slightly being Hollywoodized by the fact that I think she's not giving it as much Britishness behind, like, the politeness of it. Like, sometimes British people, like, try to be polite about, like, not giving a shit, but I think that's slowly fading, and I don't blame her. Like, it's like, who's your parents? I don't know, isn't that silly? But now she's just like, yeah, not.
I love John Boyega sort of being like, stop talking about Kenobi. It's done. Leave it alone. I'm trying to help you out here.
Yeah, that one interview where it's like, look, guys, I'm telling you, don't worry about it. Don't think about it. It's fine. Like, I'm on your side here. Just don't think about the Kenobi stuff, okay? I'm like, okay. Bless him. But yeah, like, what's your favorite moment been so far about this whole sort of lead up to The Last Jedi?
I really liked Oscar Isaac's cardigan that he was rocking when they did the sort of press day on that big white couch.
Yes, that.
That was so nice.
So snazzy. Obviously, the Resistance is decking out with the cardigans at the minute. It was pretty fun to see Oscar Isaac and Laura Dern sort of like having so much fun and smiling.
Oh,
considering how much we've heard about those two characters in the film not doing that.
Yeah, there are a few things I really love about just sort of this, because last time it was very sort of based around I think Daisy and John, because they were like the new big stars and they came out of nowhere and whatnot. And it's kind of nice to see more of the others, I think. Some of my favorite things are the video of Laura Dern talking to BB-8. I was like, aw, that's so nice. And
she rubs his stomach.
Yes. And
I love Oscar Isaac being pro-porg. That was a nice shout out. And What else? Sort of seeing through social media Kelly Marie Tran's experience of going through all this, because you know now she's the new person, and it's just like, yeah, you can tell how much like she, you know, her life has changed and will change even more, and how she's sort of like still grappling with that and sort of making that a, you know, like transparent to us as well, and it's nice to see that. And she's handling it all very well.
Yeah, she's so down to earth, and it reflects obviously in her social media use and like her appearances. And it's so fun to see both her excitement of being in the Star Wars film and people's reactions to it. In fact, I think more so people's reactions to it. And obviously, you know, it's such a big, important character, and seeing people reflected in. I think Oscar Isaac mentioned this as well, actually, in one of the press conferences. Like, people seeing themselves reflected in these characters is such a big deal. And it's cool to see people happy about that. Nikki, what you were saying about the cast member that didn't get to shine as much, I think it's true that one of the things I love is seeing Donald Gleason. Just, like, he's so nice in real life, and the contrast to Hux, like him, like, joking around and stuff, is just beautiful to see. And also, I love Andy Serkis dressing up like a, you know, proper geezer. And I wish that they made him just Andy Serkis dressed as a geezer, as Snoke. Like, he still wear the gold, you know, like, and the rings and stuff. But, you know, he's probably like, right, Ray, how's it going? Like that, sort of, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Yeah,
he wouldn't
nice
be as intimidating. I'd be like, okay, you're not that intimidating.
What if he wasn't wearing, like, a Ralph Lauren shirt?
If it was just Andy Serkis wearing the gold robe, I think Ray could take him.
Well, don't underestimate the power of the dark side, Crystal, okay?
Oh, excuse me.
Or the gold robe, okay?
You don't know. That's his secret, is the gold robe.
Exactly. It's like a power base. It's like the Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to the Snoke behind the robe. Is he wearing underpants in that robe?
No.
Question.
No, he is just... It is all hanging there.
No, I wouldn't.
Blowing in the wind.
Is that deformed as well, do you reckon? Or is that like the only thing that's still okay?
I wonder if it's like huge.
That's the episode title.
I'm hoping it's all good down there. He's got to have something go for him, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well... Now I'm thinking about Gollum.
I wonder if he calls it the Supremacy.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Hello, Ray. Have you met the Supremacy?
Sorry. Or the Mega Caliber 6.
Oh, God. Have you seen my Starkiller base?
Oh. My two little Starkiller bases. And the Supremacy. Docking in Bay 42.
Interesting number combo.
I reckon he's wearing like just gold underwear.
Docking in Bay 69.
Am
I right?
I think
hashtag nice.
I wonder if that's one of the many deleted scenes Rian Johnson talked about, where you sort of see their wardrobes, like how Kylo just has a row of Kylo helmets just in case, and Snoke has all this gold underwear. I mean,
that'd be great.
I mean, I can understand why it was cut, but should it have been? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like Kylo hides all the rest of his like sneaky Darth Vader artifacts under his underwear in the drawer, so no one finds it. Or like he's got like light side stuff, but he wants to hide it from Snoke, so he doesn't find it. Like a Jedi magazine or something.
Oh gosh. Alia Sakura, hey.
Oh, no. Like Snoke's his dad. Like he walks in.
Kylo, I can break these sheets over a chair.
Anyway, did we have any interesting quotes from sort of the PR stuff? Because obviously a lot of the questions get answered. Yeah, get answered by the cast, and some of them are more interesting than others.
So was there any? There was a question that a journalist asked at that press conference that happened, I think this past Saturday, where Anthony Bresnikan was moderating it. And a journalist asked Luke about like training Rey, or he asked Mark Hamill about Luke training Rey. And Mark Hamill had said, well, you're assuming that I train Rey. And I mean, that's probably like, you know, him just being... you know, mysterious, but that definitely added to the question of, you know, oh crap, like what if Rey goes through all that trouble and Luke's like, nah, I'm not going to train you because you're too much like Kylo. Like, I would be pissed off. And I think Rey would be pretty upset.
I would at least have hoped that he paid for the Falcon's, like, gas mileage on the trip. Because Chewie would be like, look, come on, my best mate just died. Pay up.
And Luke's like, new hut, who dis?
Yeah. I'm not Luke, I have a beard. Like, what?
What?
The most pointless excuses. Yeah, I'm interested if we actually see him train. I reckon we do see him train Rey, just because of what we've seen in the trailer. Otherwise, he's just a creep watching him, like, work out.
But what if he doesn't get the chance to? Like, what if he decides towards the last minute, like, okay, fine, I'll train you. Like, what if he gives her all of these obstacles to overcome, saying, I can't train you until you face your fear of the dark side or whatever. And as he's about to train her, that's when Kylo Ren infiltrates the island.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
That's what I was thinking.
Ooh. Would that, like, push him to save her, or do you reckon that would push him to be like, no, now we're definitely trying?
I think it would probably get to a point where Rey's going to have to surrender herself to Snoke. Like, what if Kylo says, I won't hurt anybody anymore if you come with me to go to Snoke directly? And she's like, all right, fine.
But doesn't Snoke want Luke to be dead? Isn't that the key goal?
Yeah, but what Snoke won't know won't hurt him.
Ooh. Good idea. I mean, it is Snoke, and he's got powerful mind powers, supposedly. So, yeah, I guess we can't really make too many guesses about Snoke, what he can divulge or whatever, because we don't really know that much about him. But I think the lack of us knowing anything about him just makes me open to be like, I wouldn't mess with him. So I don't think it'd be wise for Ben to do that. But yeah, it could be like, he could be like, come with me. Like he did with BB-8, like when Hux was like, he let the droid go because he got this girl instead. You know, he's like whinging in front of Snoke in the Force Awakens. I want to see more of that, by the way, like just them bitching about stuff. And I like the idea of like what you said about Luke being apprehensive, like Rey's in the Falcon and she's like, gee, that Ben Solo was such a whingy little brat, where the hell does he get that from? And she lands and he's like, I don't want to train you.
And Rey's like, ah, mystery solved.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, you know, Luke, you don't have to train me, I'll just watch some YouTube videos about being a Jedi, it should be fine.
Maybe she'll find.
She's watching Star Wars kids.
She'll find that Anakin holocron from Rebels.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it looks like my lightsaber.
But it's just Anakin. It's Anakin from Rebels, but it's like he's got a whole YouTube page, and it's him like testing out makeup, like the lipstick from Forces of Destiny, like the lip balm.
And then there's also like YouTube pages of him just saying, I had the worst day of my life. And it's just him bitching about how Obi-Wan never wants to train him enough, or Obi-Wan doesn't believe in him. And it's just him complaining.
Vlog 66, Jedi Temple Massacre.
And then at the end of each YouTube video, it's like, okay, don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yeah, so that's I've killed all the kids. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and I'll be back next time.
Thanks, guys.
And then, like, auto-links the next video, and you'll hear, so I've had the worst day.
I've had the worst day. First it was Obi-Wan, now it's Sidious. I can't catch a break.
You think your breakup is bad? I killed my wife. But yeah, that was our favourite moments from the Last Jedi conference. Yeah, like, I think the thing I like the most about the whole press conference is just, like, seeing the cast, how well they get along and stuff. And then I think there was a certain quote, obviously, about Ryan. He's saying about the original film was... Because this is a question asked by Collider. And I know the guy at Collider, he's, like, into just the behind the scenes of film and how... the process of that is. So watching that, I think you can tell by the interview that that's the sort of thing he was into. So he was just asking personal questions to Ryan about how we got the film from the original like cut all the way down to the theatrical cut. And people on the internet took that so out of line immediately. It was incredible.
Yeah.
So now people are blaming Disney for not releasing a 3-hour cut. That's not how films work.
Release the movie the way it was meant to be seen.
Look, Ryan Johnson's like, it doesn't work. Like, the original film doesn't work. That's why it's cut. So
I liked him calling it the theatrical cut is... theatrical cut is the director's cut. He's like, I cut it, guys.
I did it. Yep. Leave me alone. Like, it's my film. Yeah, it's just confusing. It's like this state of mind, which is like linked into like just film, like fans of films at the minute in general. Like you see it for DC films and stuff. It's like, what do you exactly want? It's a different scenario for the DC films because in that case, the studios did sort of mess up with it, but. It's not a worldwide Hollywood problem. I think like the only major cases before were like I think it's the same company. It was Warner Brothers with like Superman 2. It doesn't have to apply to every film you watch. There isn't a special edition where it's not like Rian Johnson put Darth Vader in it. I went, whoops, but I got it.
Whoops. <it's,
laughs> Whoopsie days. Like it's he cuts just, the film like
whoops, throws his laptop in a pool of water.
No, I see him like in classic Hollywood, like he's got like a little Hollywood cap on, and he's got the film in his hand and some scissors, and he just sneezes.
Yeah, he just cuts like, it. Oops.
Cuts it. It's like, oh, whoops.
He's just working at the studio, and he sneezes, and his coffee just gets all over the programming for movie editing. Whoops.
There goes that Hayden cameo. Oh, we paid him all that money for nothing.
There goes that Han Solo cameo.
To the ghost. Take it. That was a terrible impression.
It was a Batman or something.
Batman's in it. That's why it's 3 hours. Because they cut out Han Solo, Batman, and Hayden Christensen.
Oh.
Now that's a film I'd pay to watch.
But just Hayden Christensen fighting Batman.
That'd be great. What would it be called?
Martha.
Maybe that's his dad's name. Like, Anakin's real dad was called Martha.
Maybe that's why he doesn't like to talk about it.
Exactly. Martha Sand.
Here at the Imperial Senate, we only talk about real news.
Fake news, okay? So, here's some questions that have sort of come up. We've come up with based on all this sort of information we've learned, and let's ask it to each other and see. What comes out? Could Rey turn to the dark side?
I don't think that's going to happen. I see a lot of parallels with Rey and young Luke Skywalker. Like, Luke in the original trilogy was always driven to do the right thing. And even though he got close to turning, he never actually did it. And so I think Rey is just this type of person that wants to do the right thing, that wants to be helpful. She believes in the good of people. And I just don't see that switch happening with Rey. I think maybe she'll get close. I don't know. I think it would be a cool dynamic to see what would happen if she turned to the dark side. But I think her character, I think she's just too wound up with trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I feel like there are ways to challenge Rey without doing something that, in my opinion at least, would be kind of disingenuous to the character. Because it just doesn't seem like that's something she would do. I think she'll be, you know, not tempted, but I think she'll go places where she thinks she can get answers. Not with the intention of sort of like being all dark or whatever, but I think that's how she'll end up with, you know, involved with Snoke in some way in this movie. But I don't think that's an indicator of her sort of going to the dark side. I think to me it really wouldn't jive well with what we know of Rey.
Yeah, I get your point. I think Rey could turn to the dark side, because I think Luke could be turned to the dark side. Like you said, Kristen, there's like the possibilities out there. I don't know if they will. It's the way that the way Ryan described both Kylo Ren and Rey, it makes me feel like we will see that in the film. I don't know if we'll see her actually like properly turn though. I think we'll see moments where she falls, as in like she's tempted by it, but I don't know if we'll... I think that's the whole point of the film, basically the conflict for both Ben and Rey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean they've talked about in interviews how, I think this was on Good Morning America, which is a deep topic to get into on Good Morning America. And I remember Daisy talking about the answers aren't really light and dark anymore, and it's they're sort of converging on the middle. So I think you'll see, both Rey and Kylo Ren sort of drift away from the extremes and sort of bounce in the middle. It's my little theory there.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that they'll still be antagonistic to each other, but not to the same degree. Like, I feel like, yeah, like they're gonna, like, I reckon Rey will still be a predominantly good character in terms of the way she acts with the Force, but I feel like Ben will be more middle ground. Like, I feel like he'll be a bit more in the gray area.
I see. I'm actually thinking about Thor Ragnarok right now. I think everyone's had a chance to see it, but with Thor, he still wants to do the right thing, and he realizes that his father, Odin, has done a lot of terrible things. And so he's, like, trying to do the right thing and trying to overcome Hela and win back Asgard so that he can right his father's wrongs and, like, you know, take his place in Asgard. So I'm kind of seeing similarities with Rey's character. You know, maybe she'll realize, you know, the Jedi is not all they seem to be. Maybe Luke is being a cranky old butt, and she's trying to figure out how to do the right thing and to train herself as a powerful Jedi in order to right the wrongs. And maybe by her doing this, she is trained and she becomes powerful, but she takes on the mantle of, I'm not going to be a Jedi. I'm going to do this instead. Because I don't remember where I heard this from. It might have been a few interviews ago, or it might have been on Twitter, where EW tweeted out saying, who's the last Jedi? And Rian Johnson responded, it's Luke.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, you know, maybe Luke doesn't train Rey, and Rey figures it out on her own. And she's like, okay, well, I'm not going to make the same mistakes you did.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. In fact, I'll take it like to the next level where you said about Luke being grumpy. I think maybe Luke being grumpy is a result of him doing the same thing, but learning the hard way.
Right.
And not necessarily doing it the right way. So it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have listened to the guys who told me to murder my dad. you know, like when Yoda's like, told you, did he? Oh, shit, that sucks. Anyway, go kill him. to paraphrase Master Yoda, must go down it. But yeah, like, I think Luke is starting to realize that basically, that what fell down with the old Jedi is probably going to happen again, which it does happen again, like, for him. So maybe that's not the best thing to, like, go down that route. And I feel like Rey will help establish that balance by Luke teaching her like how to be a Jedi, but with
all the Jedi, none of the Order.
I like it. I don't think, like, now I'm starting to think, you know, what if Luke doesn't train Rey, like, at all during this episode? Like, what if at the very end, you know, he finally, at the very end of Last Jedi, he just finally says, all right, I'll train you. And that's kind of where it ends. But I don't know. Now I'm starting to think about it. Like, what if he doesn't train her at all and she just has to figure this out?
I could see that.
I think if I remember correctly, that there's an action figure called Rey Bracket Jedi Training.
Well, whatever, Charlie.
They also made a Constable Zuvio. I don't know. I'm still wary of, you know, sourcing Hasbro.
There's a new figure out called the Constable Zuvio Bracket Jedi Training. You heard it here, folks.
He's got a new...
It's happening.
New hairdo. But yeah, I think...
He's got a new hat.
I think there has to be some sort of, like, complete rejection, right? Otherwise, why would she leave Octo? Because, you know, maybe he won't train her. Or he does for a little bit, and then he's like, nah, this is bad. So, yeah.
That would suck, because then I'd sue Hasbro and tell them to change the figure to Rey Bracket Jedi Training, comma, for like 2 minutes.
For a little bit.
Bracket.
For like two minutes. For a little bit.
Yeah.
Charlie, I think you should work for Hasbro and make all the names for the toys.
I don't want to like brag, but I feel like I should do. We've already got the Cosmopolis Zuvio sold out, which is the bestseller. You know it's a bestseller because it's still on the pegs. Even though The Force Awakens came out 2 years ago.
It's so popular. They just kept making so many.
Yeah, it's like, guys, they love this figure. They love this character. Of course, as well, I mean, the Rey Jedi training for 2 minutes. That's a great figure. Luke, grumpy. Luke, not so grumpy. What other figures are there? Weird Fox Demon. That's a
weird
that's a
fox
figure.
Demon. Angry Their kids penguin. Will love this one.
Angry penguin, weird fox demon, space horse,
grumpy, lumpy.
Lumpy's in the film.
Yes.
Bracket Jedi training.
No, I'd buy that.
That's the only reason Chewie's joining Rey. It's like, by the way, I've got a kid. He's like 30 years old, but he's training. Would Lumpy be like 30 now?
Because
he's in Aftermath.
So he's like a teen in Aftermath.
Oh, so maybe like 40.
Yeah, maybe more 40.
He's like graying. Yeah. He's got glasses.
A little bit of graying going on.
He's in the band, like trying to be hip still.
Dad, just let me live my life.
Dad, why are you going back? Han Solo, like he's old dad. He's hanging out with his old friend again, and then he like comes back because his best friend's dead. Oh my god, this is depressing.
Please listen to our podcast.
Yeah. Anyway, we've answered why if Rey turns to the dark side. We're talking about Lumpy. Let's ask this new different question. Will Finn get his mojo back?
Finn never lost his mojo, first of all.
And would he fight Dr. Evil?
Dr. Evil. He'll get him this time.
Yeah, like, that'd be a great spin-off.
Yeah, kind of...
No, I've lost everyone.
I wonder what the premise for that question was. Because, I mean, it's like, yeah, is he, like, going to be depressed at the beginning of The Last Jedi or something, or...
Well, to be fair, he did have his back, like, slain over.
Is he just going to have trouble with his sexual relationships?
You never know.
Well, you know, the rating for The Last Jedi, it does have sexual themes in it, so who knows?
That's right. Mild nudity, right?
There you go.
All pork-related.
And he did used to be a stormtrooper, so you know they miss quite a lot. So, I mean, to be fair though, as well, like from Finn's point of view, he's the last thing he saw was Rey getting hit into a tree. I think it's pretty like fair for him to assume that she's not okay. Because for him, it's like, oh my god, poor Rey, she got whacked into a tree.
He probably thinks that she's dead.
Right. He doesn't know that she gave him a kiss. And then went, see ya. So, I wonder how he deals with that sort of thing. I think there is... The plot for this film, for Finn, is going to be more about his own self-confidence and, like, his place in the galaxy. Because, obviously, he did one of the most bravest acts in the whole of the galaxy. And then people have told the story while he's been asleep in the coma. And now he's woken up a celebrity. And that must be weird for him. Like, he hasn't earned that right. And I feel like him and Rose's relationship would be fun. Because she feels like, oh, maybe I'm not. Like, because she's just a technician, maybe she's not on the same level. But he's like, no, you are. Like, I'm just like you.
I think Rose is going to figure out, and she's going to be pissed at him. Because I keep thinking of what Han Solo said to him in The Force Awakens. He said, you know, women always figure it out. Like, you can't hide it. And so I think he's going to be, like, either rolling along with that charade until it's too late, till he finally has to out himself. Or he's...
And also, I think he wants to live up to the ideal. Like, he's like, he tries to shrug it off, and he's like, that's not me. But then during the film, he's like, that is me, deep down. Like, I want to live up. He goes, I didn't have anything to fight for before, now I do. And I think it's hilarious that throughout The Force Awakens, he pretended to be a big deal in the Resistance. And he wakes up.
And he's a big deal.
And he's a big deal in the Resistance. It's incredible. And that's one of the things I love about the film, or what I'm excited about the most.
I remember something in coverage, not recent, but a while ago, talking about how he's still kind of on the fence about whether or not he wants to stay.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah, I wonder how much of, you know, how big a role Rose is going to play in convincing him otherwise. Obviously, we probably can guess where he ends up doing. So I mean, yeah.
There's the warm up.
I think he
wakes up, and Poe and General Leia and everyone are surrounding him. Like, okay, good, you're up. We have to go back to Jakku.
Oh no! He's like, I am out. This last question: will Luke and Leia reunite?
I don't know. I think towards the end, because I feel like Luke is in the Millennium Falcon at some point. Yeah. So they have to reunite.
Yeah, and I'm going to cry. I think they'll do it.
I hope they do it. And if they play the Luke and Leia theme, I will like cry. For so long.
I'll cry, and then I'll punch the person next to me in the face. Just I'll lose it.
I'll punch anyone who's not crying.
Are you crying? No. Boom!
Like, get with it. What are you doing in this theater?
Leave.
I like how you two are both going to get kicked out during the film so far.
That's why it needs to be at the end.
Yeah, it needs to be. Ryan, if you're listening to this, go back and edit it.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's in the 3-hour version.
What if it was and he took it out? It wasn't that important, I don't think.
Christ. Yeah, that'd be interesting. I really do hope they meet, because I think they're the most two important characters in the galaxy. I love the Space Twins, and I feel like they need that last... Like, if I don't see them together, I think I'll be devastated.
Yeah.
I think it's important not just for their own characters, but also for, like, Ben and Rey. Because I feel like Leia has some... Like, she wants to help Rey at the same time. So I feel like it's important for those characters. And I think the dichotomy between Ben and Rey is important throughout the film. And for both Leia's point of view and Luke's point of view. Because obviously her son went through that. And also his nephew, you know, that he trained, so he doesn't want the same thing to happen. So I want them to meet. I don't know if they will do.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be the right time because it's kind of like the fulfillment of the very like first thing of this new trilogy, right? And like you see it in the opening crawl of, everything's been kicked out into action because she needs him back, right? So it would
Exactly.
be just incredibly saddening if they're like, yeah, we'll push that to nine. I feel like it will happen, but I'll just keep the hope going that that's right. Because yeah, it'll be kind of, I think it'll definitely be like one of the moments of the entire saga.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking about the saga, Rian Johnson, like, because we were talking about this, I think, last time, like, with the whole JJ news and everything, like, it'd be great to have Rian back one day. And one day came up pretty quickly, actually. So I think it was like last month or maybe 2 months ago, they announced that Rian will be doing a new trilogy of Star Wars films that is not really connected to the main Skywalker saga, but will be set in the galaxy, someplace we haven't seen, with new characters that we haven't met yet. And obviously, I think that a live action TV series will be accompanying it.
I'm really excited about the live action TV series because I've wanted that from Star Wars for the longest time. Because I think there could be so much more ground that can be covered of such an expansive galaxy. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I remember being 9 years old and seeing them announce it, I think, online for Celebration 3, was it? Yeah,
The
Celebration 3.
like kind of underworld series.
And I remember that graphic, I think it was like the next year, it was like a picture of Yoda, the animated version, like 2008. And then it was like 2009, live action series. I was like, okay, this is so cool. And like every year I check it, like Wikipedia, but like, okay, it's not happening, is it? And then, like, I think it's like 2012. I was like, okay, it's definitely not happening. But I think that would have been interesting. And I think that this whole interconnectivity between the films and TV series is important. I think can work in a particular way that it hasn't really been seen yet. Like, people mention Daredevil and the Marvel films, and there is some connectivity, and a bit like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well, but there's no cross boundary. So it's like the whole Daredevil show happens in the same world, but they just don't get involved in the film or the characters from the film, vice versa. So like if you're watching the new Avengers Infinity War trailer, you're like, I guess Jessica Jones just looks up at the sky and people being murdered and it's like, huh, day off. And yeah, it's like I want there to be actual connectivity between the TV show and the films, and that might be hard, but there's some actors that you think it can work for. It depends on the time era they're going for as well. Like if it was perhaps, I don't know, in the Rise of the Empire period, which I know everyone's like, oh, you've already been through that like loads of times. You could get characters like Alan Tudyk playing a security droid that like K2SO, but it, like he, because he's an actor that goes in films and TV, so it's like much easier to work with. Or you could actually have like K2 in the film. For me, I feel like, even discussing this is like, Charlie, don't get your hopes up. But considering that we've just got Diego Luna back to play Cassian for a VR game thing, not VR, what's the other, AR. Is mind blowing to me, and the fact that we get to see him and Alan Tudyk back as both Cassian and K2SO in a new story is pretty cool. And I feel like if they can do it for that, a TV show is like up a peg. So
I saw
I'm
something the
interested.
other day where people were talking about wanting like a live action Star Wars show about Princess Leia, and they were
Yeah.
like saying, "What if Millie Bobby Brown played Princess Leia as a kid?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be perfect," because she looks so much like I feel like she looks kind of like Carrie Fisher in a way, like the cheekbones especially.
Yeah, like I know that the two big ones is that obviously she looks like Millie Bobby Brown looks like Princess Leia, and Finn from Stranger Things looks like Ben Solo, like a younger Adam Driver.
Yeah.
And the idea, could you imagine like a TV show where it's like you see episodes like in contrast between young Leia and young Ben? I think that'd be fascinating.
Ooh.
Like you see like,
I want my boy Sebastian Stan to play Luke Skywalker in the live action Star Wars show. That would be cool.
That'd be awesome. So like we some episodes, like some half of the episode is like dedicated to Leia and the journey that she goes through and like the story, and then we see it with Luke and Ben on their adventures. Damn it, I'm getting myself excited now.
Yeah, I really rule one. I really don't know what to expect from either of these things. Like the sort of in a corner of the galaxy, like we've never seen and whatnot, does that mean like a different time period than anything we've ever seen? Or is it just gonna be like this was happening meanwhile kind of thing? It's something I'm not sure where to sort of like place my bets on, you know.
Well, like they show the Death Star blowing up and it like zooms across the galaxy, like meanwhile, and it's just like some woman going to the shop.
Like a nice Monty Python type of humor.
And now for something completely different. That'd be amazing. Yeah, we should have more Monty Python references in Star Wars. I don't know what to expect. I think that's the most interesting part about this whole project, is that it could be anything. And I think that's what excited Lucasfilm and Ryan about the project, is that it's like completely fresh, big, brand new stories, but they trust him, and the fact that they trust him makes me trust him more. And I don't even want to sort of think about it too much, because obviously it's so far away as it is, and I like the idea of not knowing. It's because with the solo film, it's like the first thing that comes into your head, like the first thing that comes into your head when you think of a solo film is, okay, Chewie's in it, there's Lando in it, does he have the Falcon? Like, does he win the Falcon? And it looks like all three of those stuff is in the film. Rogue One, oh my god, is Darth Vader going to be in it? Like, all that stuff happened, and it came true, which is awesome, but at the same time, I like not knowing about what's coming for this film. Today, Ryan basically confirmed that the story isn't going to be set in the Old Republic, or at least not based on the game. How do you feel about that?
I'm fine.
Okay. That's all we've got.
What about you, Nikki? I don't care.
I'm totally open to a Old Republic story. I don't see the use of adapting the video game story, though. I don't think there's anything wrong with going into a time period that is so disconnected from the movies that we know. So we can, you know, you can really change a lot. You can change the sort of visual aesthetic of the galaxy. You can come up with all sorts of new things. But yeah, like the idea of just taking the story from something that's already been told, you don't bring Rian Johnson to do that. So like the fact that anybody would have wanted that is kind of bizarre to me.
I also, wasn't the Old Republic, isn't most of that game, or at least a certain amount of it, like your own choice?
Oh, like the MMO one? Or the...
Well, that, even the...
I guess both,
the original one.
Both. Yeah, they're like
so
RPGs.
Like, could you imagine it? Like, should I kill him?
Mm-hmm.
Choose your own destiny. Go to Theater 2 to see this route. If you want him to survive, go to Theater 4. You have 5 minutes.
Yeah, like, that's why the canon question was always kind of funny with that, because they're like, oh, so the Old Republic's still going, so that means it's canon, right? And they're like, no. Because, yeah, it's like, you don't canonize something that changes, you know, right? Like, you can canonize the Battlefront storyline, because that is, there's set points, obviously, you know, whether you move down this hallway or not is different, but the story is the same, no matter what.
Exactly, and I feel like even if it's the characters are what you want it to be, I feel like even the MMO version of the game is always like, it's you in the film. Like, I'm sorry, it's you in the game. So unless you want to be in the actual film, like, what's the point? I don't know what you get out of it. Apart from like, oh look, there's a Jedi. Okay. His lightsaber's different. Okay. That planet was from that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I don't think... Yeah,
free films.
Yeah, the story, the using the game as any sort of like starting point doesn't make much sense to me. But I feel like that time period, there's plenty to do in.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like there is like opportunity to go there. I just feel like I don't know. I just don't want to know much about it anyway. So maybe I'm biased, but I don't know. I don't even have any idea or desire for the film myself. I don't know about you guys. Have you got any particular ideas you want to see Ryan tackle?
I don't know. I really love the idea of him doing something that's never been done before with the Star Wars universe. I mean, it would be cool to see him do something that happened, you know, years and years and years before the original trilogy, or tell a story about like a planet or a group of people that are going through something at the same time the events of the prequel trilogy or the original trilogy is happening. That would be kind of interesting. But, you know, I have no idea what he's going to do, but I know whatever it is, I'm going to love it. So I can't really think of anything.
Yeah, it's hard because, like, foreseeably, like, this could be the future of Star Wars, right? Like, this story needs to have enough of a, enough consequence to the point where it's not sort of just tucked in nicely. Like, Rogue One tucks in nicely, right? And it's all sort of built upon what we know about the six films that are sort of on either side of it, whereas this one is like, or this new trilogy, I feel like has to be separate enough from that to where it can really sustain and create its own spin-offs and whatnot. So yeah, it's hard to think about that. I don't even know how much they've thought about it, because it just sort of seemed like the idea was kind of good enough, and then let's roll with what we can do. But yeah, I don't know. For me, I feel like it needs to be kind of radical from what we already know. Like it needs to be something kind of new.
By the way, I've changed my mind. I actually have an idea, which would be a good story. I feel like the first person, if you're doing like ancient history or something. And the first person to come up with the idea of replacing limbs with robotic ones, right, was like he pounced on that business idea, because it seems to be quite a popular business in the Star Wars galaxy. That's a fascinating story. Like maybe like back in the day, Jonathan, what's the Star Wars character's name? Like, you know, like the ones in Battlefront, like Nimporel lost his foot.
Nori Carver.
Yeah, Norum Carver lost his foot, and now he has to replace it with a metal one.
The first galactic billionaire.
Republic credit.
Oh, he became. Here's my pitch. Okay, you ready?
Go on.
Okay, so this little boy, right? He gets through watching a space opera with his parents. And he's walking down the alleyway with his parents, going to his little Star Wars space home. And his parents get killed right in front of him, but the boy survives. And he becomes a multi-credit billionaire person who buys a bunch of stuff and invests in a lot of stuff. And he wants to get revenge on his parents' killer. So he decides that he is going to take on a persona of a masked vigilante that goes around his neighborhood on his planet and fight crime.
That's fresh.
Yeah. Thank you. I just came up with that.
Yeah. I think every sequel should have some sort of retelling of the time when his parents get killed.
Yeah, so it's like fresh in your mind every right. time. You're like,
just
oh,
so
dang.
You never forget.
You have to remember the cause.
Yeah, I could buy that.
Yeah.
But okay. How would he react to, I don't know, let's say a sort like a force powered being of some sort, like a very powerful being who, even though they're both good, start fighting.
Probably ask if he bleeds.
Ask if he bleeds. Probably set up by Jesse Eisenberg. I'm just, you know, I'm throwing it out
that's,
there. I'm being
that ain't half bad fan casting right there.
Yeah, that's really...
And perhaps they have the same name, mother. Like Nom Carver. And yeah,
like,
and, like maybe
like they're fighting each other, and let's say this force power like strong being like gets this vigilante down and starts talking about his mom Yaddle, and then the vigilante is like, why did you say that name? And they realize they have the same mom, and it's
why
Yaddle.
Why did you say Yaddle?
Jeez.
Yaddle's my mom's name. Why did you say that name?
And then they realize, oh crap, Yaddle is all of our mom.
Save Yaddle. Save. Yeah, that'd be great. That's devastating. Who would play Yaddle?
Cate Blanchett.
Good casting.
Thanks.
Ryan Reynolds.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Catherine Beta-Jones is like the first version of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
All right, that's the end of our podcast. Thank you for listening.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's basically all we have for this week anyway. okay, so we should mention that obviously we have Patreon content. Our first sort of content's coming out. This week we are doing some Battlefront commentary, which will be pretty neat. We'll be talking about Battlefront 2, the storyline, what we felt about the storyline, because I know that I think you two got the game, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have to wait for Father Christmas, sadly, but I have actually watched the gameplay because I'm a sad soul. Who waited literally like 12 hours on the first day and was like, oh, give up. To watch the actual storyline. So we'll be talking about that and how much we love the storyline or don't love it. I don't know about you guys, but there's a specific mission that just for me, like it was so amazing and sort of summed up how much I love this storyline. So that watch out for that this week. We'll be releasing that. We've got some big news coming out soon. I don't know when we can reveal that, but it should be very soon. Which is exciting. I know we're excited about that. Yeah, apart from that, plug time. Do you want to plug your stuff? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Cool.
You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Kristen K. Bates. I've also written an article for 1138.com talking about the Solo film and why you should watch it and why it needs to be your favorite Star Wars film of all time, forever and ever, amen. And I also make dank memes on Twitter, so you can follow me there.
Nikki?
Nice. You can follow me on Twitter at Nikuicious, which is spelled N-A-Q-U-I-C-I-O-U-S. And I will say hello and talk to you there.
Yay! And you can follow me on Twitter at C-M-W-A-S-H-B-Y. Where I talk nonsense and Star Wars jokes, bad jokes, apparently. You can also follow us on the Star Wars Podcast Alliance, where we talk there sometimes. If you want to message us, you can message us on there. I have a Twin Peaks podcast we haven't recorded for a while, but you can listen back to old episodes if you pick up the box set from Showtime. And finally, our friend Saf has got a Star Wars Discord. That's, you just go to Discord and put Star Wars Twitter, and you can find us there. That's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back I think we're changing our routine a bit. We might do one per week, see how it goes. So yeah, it's good to be back.
Indeed.
Talking straight up nonsense. Thanks. Well, I'm done. Just say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
I like making the ending as awkward as possible.
Eat your vegetables.
Yeah, eat your vegetables, kids. Have safe sex. Don't do drugs. And eat vegetables whilst having safe sex. See ya.
Dissolved the council permanently. The last remnants of the old republic have been swept away.